Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hating.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, March 11th, 2024. Another Monday with Mitzi, the Monday after this year's Academy Awards. And so here we are. Chauncey the Gardener is a reference to the movie Being There, 1979.
Peter Sellers.
Movie starring Peter Sellers and Shirley MacLaine and others. Yeah, I wonder if we should include, I wish that I had a clip that I thought was fitting, but somebody put together something Joe Biden, the Chauncey Gardener of Presidents.
Seriously? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Description: in the movie Being There, Chauncey the Gardener, later Chauncey Gardner, was played by the late Peter Sellers, who did a brilliant job of portraying Chauncey, who bears a distinct resemblance to Joe Biden.
I didn't do Chauncey, that on purpose.
This person says Chauncey Gardner was a genius compared to Biden, though. Who knows?
I just thought it was a brilliant movie. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, the incomparable Peter Sellers. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that his last movie?
I think so.
I think so, too. You know, it's amazing how, you know, some of the stars, their last movies are so iconic. I mean, you know, Jack Lemmon, his last movie was the Bagger Vance. And Audrey Hepburn's last movie was Being There. I mean, Always. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing in that, you know, Jack Lemmon and Audrey Hepburn were both angels in those movies. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And then Peter Sellers in Being There. That was such a good movie. What a great way to create a legacy, I tell you. And a legacy, I guess.
He was nominated 3 times for Academy Awards. Speaking of Academy Awards, twice for Best Actor, Dr. Strangelove, and Being There.
Huh. Very interesting. Well, it's kind of interesting that I brought that up because I didn't do it on purpose. It just always sticks in my mind how, you know, sometimes being uninformed can actually be an asset.
Sometimes being there can be an asset. Just kidding.
Sometimes being there can be an asset.
Yeah. I didn't start the day with the prayer. I should probably back up and do that.
I'd appreciate that.
Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places. I think some of that we've alluded to in discussing some of the cultural phenomenons of the day, but I digress. So without further ado, Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith. put on the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, and pray at all times in the Spirit. I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper, that all who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, and righteousness be restored in the land, and poisonous trees and their offshoots like brands and agencies conceived in malice would collapse under the weight of their own evil. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you had a couple of things on your mind as fodder for today's Monday with Mitzi. And by the way, welcome back and thanks for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me. It has been a wonderful experience for me to have you invited me on a show and have it be a continuing thing, because it actually is, it's very stimulating, and it's wonderful to connect with you on kind of a different level, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Me too, and I think others are as well. I'm pretty sure Julie is, so.
Oh,
it's
good.
Fun.
It's a mutual appreciation society. Those are the best kind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as often happens, I don't know why it happens in my life, but I a lot of times get invited to different things on the same day. And yesterday was one of those days, and kind of as a last minute thing, I got invited to a concert at one of our local casinos with Marshall Tucker Band and Jefferson Starship opening. And I was really sad that I'd already made other plans, but my friend that did go to it enjoyed it. And Marshall Tucker Band was the headliner. And, and then the Jefferson Starship was the opening act, which she enjoyed probably more than the Marshall Tucker Band. But her observation was, of course, not only a blast from the past, but the fact that one of the band members in Jefferson Starship was like 86, and one of the members of Marshall Tucker Band was 75 or something like that, and all of them were up in years, and yet, it was a wonderful concert. And, my take on that is that those of us that are in our fourth quarter are, sometimes we get better. We get better with age. And I think that people that just retire and want to rest are, sometimes they're missing out, because this is the best stuff. And that's what my friend experienced at this concert last night. So I kind of wanted to mention that.
Hmm. That's pretty interesting. Octogenarians and septuagenarians giving concerts.
Right? The sky's the limit.
I guess so.
And they were probably fully dressed.
Probably. Well, that's boring.
Well, at our age, it's pretty not boring. It would be shocking to be anything else.
Yeah.
It might get in the way of their instruments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I digress.
Mm-hmm. Euphemistically speaking.
Yes.
So, on this day, I don't know if we want to do this, but, on this day, back in 2020, this was the day when the WHO declared COVID-19.
Oh, geez.
A pandemic. This was that day, so.
What an interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. And then it was 5 days later, I think, that we got the New York Times article that sent the world into a tailspin, and it was based on bogus modeling data. And here we are.
And here we are.
How many days to slow the spread now?
How many days what?
To slow the spread.
Oh.
Remember, it was 2 weeks to, we were going to shut the world down for 2 weeks to slow the spread. And how many days has it been now?
A lot.
Yeah. On this day in 2021, President Joe Biden signed the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan into law. The American Rescue Plan.
Are we rescued?
I guess so.
Good.
Yeah.
I didn't get that memo either.
I didn't either. But we got billed for it, so, you know.
But, you know, it's amazing what I got done before WHO declared COVID. You know, I don't know if you remember, but your youngest brother was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and they were getting ready to sell their house. And I went into super mom mode and went to Pittsburgh and spent, I was going to be there for a week, but I was there for almost a month. And I was helpful, let's just say that, in helping them get their house on the market. And then while I was gone, you know, I had bought my house not too long before, and I wanted to put in a patio in the spring. And the contractors called me in Pittsburgh and said, hey, do you want a patio? This is like the last week of February. We got some time. The weather's pretty nice out here in Spokane. I hear you're not there, but shall we go put your patio in? And I said, sure, go put my patio in. So while I was in Pittsburgh, the big trucks and jackhammers and all kinds of things came to the neighborhood, upset my neighbors on my street, and put in a patio for me. And they were gone, and I had a patio when I came home, and I didn't have any discomfort at all. And then a couple of days later, we had COVID.
There
but I got
go.
A lot done before we had to go into lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
That was a blessing.
Yeah. Interesting, interesting. So, speaking of interesting, born on this day, also in addition to Ken, Barbie's Ken, Lawrence Welk, born on this day in 1903.
Talk about an icon.
Yeah. Rupert Murdoch, born on this day in 1931. Bobby McFerrin, born on this day in 1950. Still doing his thing. Some people remember him from the Levi's commercials back in the 80s, right?
Yep.
So, we covered the COVID base. Also, born on this day, in 1926, Ralph Abernathy, a lot of people don't maybe remember him as being affiliated with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Martin Luther King, and et cetera, et cetera. So he was born on this day in 1926. And to round out the born on this day, or excuse me, died on this day, to round out on this day for the moment, I suppose, Slobodan Milosevic died on this day in 2006.
Interesting.
Yeah. President of Yugoslavia.
Very interesting.
Which no longer exists. But you probably didn't hear about that on the... We don't stand with Yugoslavia, we stand with Ukraine.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, Yugoslavia came to an end in 1992, and do you think it had anything to do with that car? The Yugo?
I think so. The push-go car?
Yeah.
You had a Yugo.
I did, actually, at one point.
I think it was a push-go
Yugo
car.
Nowhere. Yugo on fire. Some sort of problem in the what was it? I want to say the carburetor cracked or something. Uh-huh. Something cracked.
Yeah.
And it was a fairly common defect, and so they would catch fire. You know, you warm it up in the morning and then it gets a little too warm when it catches fire and yeah.
And not then good. You can make s'mores.
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 Roast s'mores on your automobile that has caught fire.
Oh, dear. Yeah, mm-hmm. maybe that had something to do with it. You never know.
The end of Yugoslavia. Well, it wasn't, I think, too long after that. I think it was right around the same time, you know, that issue became a prominent safety recall. And then, you know, I think it was around shortly before 92. I don't remember exactly, but. Now, it probably wasn't related, but it certainly should be. If you make an automobile like that, you don't deserve to have a country. They really were. They really were, I think, ahead of their time in terms of throwaway automobiles. If it's going to catch fire, to have paper seats basically is perfect. So that it can burn a lot faster and hotter than other things that would be less, you know, more fire retardant, less incendiary.
Less incendiary. I didn't put the two together.
Yep. The Yugo nowhere.
And Yugoslavia went there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, speaking of the Ottoman Empire and the breaking up of the Ottoman Empire, Turner Classic Movies played... Whatchamacallit over the weekend. What's his name? You know, Peter O'Toole as Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh. I missed that and, too.
And what's his name? Omar Sharif.
Yes.
And Anthony Quinn, et cetera, et cetera. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi. Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Health Simple with Colorado Shielji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Direction, you know, as we mentioned, Yugoslavia, the Ottoman Empire, Lawrence of Arabia. I'm thinking Zbigniew Brzezinski, the Grand Chessboard, the Eurasian Balkans, Halford Mackinder's Heartland Theory, and so on and so on, which is probably not good fodder for Mondays. That's a train of thought for a different broadcast.
Right?
Yeah. But, you know, I do think it's fitting in a way.
I was multitasking.
Yes, you were.
I amaze myself sometimes. And I always amuse myself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
That's a fact.
My ADOS kicked in.
Or S.
Yes.
S for short.
S for short. Oh, dear.
Those boots are made for walking.
I know. I love those things. Yep. And dancing. So what now? What are we going to talk about?
Well, I mean, since I drifted in the direction of the Ottoman Empire and so on and so on, I mean, we used to be more sophisticated in our propaganda. What about, you know, Constantinople versus Istanbul?
Yeah.
Because now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Well, when we were talking about Yugoslavia, what I was thinking about is if you had a map of the world, you know, like a 4x6 map of the world that you put on the wall, how often would you have to update it?
Say that again.
I said if you had a map of the world, you know, like a 4x6 map of the world or a globe, how often would you have to update it for it to be current? Countries change a lot.
Yeah, I think according to bad guys, old school bad guys, speaking of Brzezinski, et cetera, we're at the point now where it's less about breaking up countries, you know, like that, than it is about causing a cultural shift within those countries.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think it's less about, we won't see any major geographical shifts, any territorial shifts, but there is a push to do things in a transnational sort of fashion.
Well, it's just hard to keep up with all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that I'll talk about probably tomorrow. Clark in Texas actually sent me an email over the weekend, or I'm sure to a few people, but I was included. Mark Windows with Shelley Tasker. It was actually, I watched that, Steering the Public Communitarianism, the Shelley Tasker show. So it looks like Mark Windows reposted that on his own YouTube channel. And so that's the order of the day. That's something for a different broadcast, but that's, you know, and part of that reminds me of what the late, great Joan Vion said about public-private partnerships. So that's, you know, basically the way that works is something that is beyond the observation or the comprehension, really, in a certain sense of most people, and that's why it's working. Clark's third law, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone, old Constantinople still is Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. So, that's the four lads. Originally did that. They Might Be Giants redid it back in 1990. We might have to play that later. That's interesting. But apparently the song was written on the 500th anniversary of the fall of Constantinople to the Ottomans. That's the rumor anyway. So what a curious coincidence of timing. According to Wikipedia, the lyrics humorously refer to the official renaming of the city of Constantinople to Istanbul. was very popular when it was released. Do you remember that song?
Of course I do.
From your youth?
Okay. Of course I do. Yep.
So, you know, the propaganda used to be more sophisticated, but this is kind of what I mean by this thing that feeds on itself. You know, the lowest common denominator programming that Carl Sagan talked about is the same thing that Friedrich Hayek talked about in The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10 in particular, which I mentioned, obviously, in the run-up to the 2016 election, especially, is the same thing that Bernays talked about, is the same thing that Hitler wrote about in Mein Kampf, et cetera, et cetera. And so it goes somewhere, goes in a direction.
You're getting and deep.
It makes us less sophisticated, shall I say.
Yes, it does.
Psilocybin.
Psilocybin.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, gets back to that thing that I'll come back to. Mark Windows on with Shelley Tasker, Steering the Public, Communitarianism. It was really fantastic. That's something that I'll get to later, but something that everyone should be aware of, I think, because it explains a lot. You know, there are some frustrating things happening in society. Things we're told that don't seem to match up. And this, you know, has broader connotations, I think. It's part of why I pray that God reveals our hypocrisy and double-mindedness, because it's so pervasive. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll mention this. We should go to the phones in a second, but I will give you this. I will offer this one example, I suppose, of how pervasive the hypocrisy is, if I may. Do you mind?
Not at all.
So there's this discussion about the, how do I even put this? So there's a ministry, shall we call it, in Kansas City. International House of Prayer, IHOP or IHOP KC, started by a guy named Mike Bickle. You probably don't know about this story, but it's big news across the country, especially in certain demographics. And there are the Jane Does who are coming out and saying Mike Bickle, you know, is guilty of inappropriate behavior along the way, you know, through the years with these Jane Does. One of the ladies is not a Jane Doe. She's the first person, apparently, in the saga and now she has come out of the woods or into the public eye, whatever you want to say. And her name is Tammy Woods, or Tammy Woods Rittering. So she tells her story, and it's big news and stuff. And I have a perspective on 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, that, you know, again, this is stuff for a different broadcast, probably, but suffice it to say that in her telling of her story, she, well, let me just read from the article. There's an article article in the Kansas City Star published February February 14, actually updated February 14, 2024. The article is titled, Woman Says IHOP KC Founder Groomed, Sexually Abused Her When She Was 14 in the 1980s. So, it's quite a saga, and I won't get into the details, but basically, in simple terms, when Tammy was 14, she met Mike Bickle, who at the time was 25 and married with two children, I believe. And he is her youth pastor at that point in her life. And it's a very strange story, but you know, the relationship continues somehow. Again, I'm trying to keep it short in the interest of time, but you know, this continues, and there's an on again, off again sort of aspect to it. But the point, for the purposes of hypocrisy, is that, you know, this tryst goes on basically for decades. And the article says, Wood said, so it reads down toward the end, Wood said she finally decided she had to come forward because in the past 6 weeks she's lied to three loved ones who asked her direct questions about her relationship with Bickle. And so it says, and suddenly here he is all these years later controlling the narrative of my life, she said. This chafes my soul to live as a liar. It's not who I am. And I thought, I can't do this. And then I realized he's doing this to these younger women, all of them. And I just snapped. And so the problem with that is that, let's say, you know, for the sake of argument, yes, that, you know, this was predatory behavior, and yes, he, you know, she was a victim initially. I wouldn't dispute that, but this continues on for years and years and then decades. And, you know, it's a strange tale. And he's, Mike Bickle is around when she gets married. Some, you know, people notice. I mean, part of the tale is, you know, Mike Bickle is telling these other women that his wife Diane is going to die soon and they can live happily ever after. Apparently Tammy was the first one he told that to. So some of Tammy's friends were seeing her start to sort of assume the identity of Mike's wife Diane, and they were saying, why are you dressing like her? Why do you sound like her? She was babysitting and stuff. Anyway, point is, at some point she becomes a co-conspirator. You know, it's like a Bonnie and Clyde thing, and she's dishonest to Mike's wife Diane, her Tammy's own family, and all the people around her. So for her to say 40 years later that this chafes my soul to live as a liar, it's not who I am, I think is completely dishonest, because she's been living as a liar pretty much her entire adult life when it comes to this very situation. And I'm not trying to make a spectacle of this or anything. I just think that these kinds of things float around and we don't realize how, let's just put it bluntly, how dishonest we are with ourselves and one another. And this is a glaring example. Why this one is so provocative is because this is supposedly in, you know, among the Christian community, which is supposed to be a higher standard. And so I just find it very provocative and very ironic that she would say, this chased my soul to live as a liar. It's not who I am. When in reality, that is exactly who she's been her entire adult life regarding this very situation.
Well, can I say something?
Yeah.
You know, it's very dishonorable. And by that, I mean, for decades, I don't know what it might have been, but for decades, she had a benefit. She had a benefit
yeah.
that served her to keep yeah. it a secret. And so the dishonor is she decided to, you know, to expose it in a way that blew the lid off of it. And, you know, it's terrible that he went on to do the same thing to a lot of other people. But, you know, the honorable thing would have been to do something and not necessarily for public, you know, to blow the lid off publicly, but to do something a long time ago. But the dishonorable thing is how she did what she did was, you know, self-serving is what I want to say. And I don't know what the details are, but you're absolutely right. And sometimes we believe people just for a certain, you know, for a certain prejudice, like, you know, the woman is always right in this situation or something like that. I mean, it's something that needs to be looked at situation by situation, but this is not an honorable thing that she did, or the way that she did it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's most unfortunate. So my speculation, I don't want to get, this is something for, you know, broadcast later this week, but my study Bible in the footnotes, the NASB translation of 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. This is the false teachers. This is, you know, some would say very clearly, this is Mike Bickle in view here. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. And the sensuality is in view in all of this all the time. Anyway, my footnote in my study Bible says eyes full of adultery literally translates to eyes full of an adulteress. And so this is where I get the idea that they're sort of co-conspirators. And I think, you know, I was thinking exactly the same thing when I saw that, started thinking about this. It strikes me the same way that you just put it. You know, it was while it was fun and while there was a benefit to it, the trysts continued. And that's all in the story. But then the moment that the thrill is gone, this is what happens. And, you know, there's more, but I just, the real, you know, like you said, I mean, we are almost forced to view this a certain way in society. And if you don't, then you're clearly, you know, a terrible person. How dare you even suggest? But I mean, the fact that line, she's quoted as saying, "This chafes my soul, to live as a liar. It's not who I am." Really? That's exactly who you've been with this exact situation for your entire adult life. You've been lying to everyone, your husband, his wife, your family. You know, I mean, that's America today. And I'm a heretic if I suggest that the truth is the truth. Well, that to me is America in a nutshell.
And what should have happened was that, you know, the response should have been, shame on you.
Meaning, you know,
shame
her?
On her. Yeah, the response to her should have been, shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you start thinking in a broader context, like put yourself in those shoes, you know, the risk. I mean, what is going on? This, you know, so the reason I say this is because we joke about the psilocybin thing, and, you know, you talked about the wardrobe and some of the other stuff going on that you sort of casually observed at yesterday's Oscars. And this seems very self-serving. It's the same kind of self-serving thing, and people don't want to hear it. But, you know, she had an obligation initially, and so did her family, and so did her father specifically, to put an end to this early on, like immediately, or not, you know, prevent it from happening, better yet. But at some point, it becomes a dance, and she's a dance partner, and we're not supposed to look at it that way, but, you know, that's the reality. And it's self-serving now, because if you think in the broader context, the what she stands to lose and gain. I mean, if you're a decent, self-respecting person and you do something like this, even though I believe she said that she talked to her husband about it, it could drive a huge wedge between them. It could alienate her children. It's disgraceful to her, not just herself, but her family. And, you know, the implications are far-reaching, I think.
Well, and so, sorry.
Yeah. Like you said, I think how you put it is fitting.
Well, you know, the stories that we tell ourselves to justify things is interesting. And what comes to mind is, you know, stories that I've told myself about former relationships. And, you know, there have been conversations that you and I have had that, you know, you bring a new perspective to a story that I've told myself. And I really appreciate it because, you know, I made up a story and made it true. And of course, part of it was true, but not all of it. And then, you know, you have somebody that has the courage to say, yeah, but maybe you should think about this and look at it in a different perspective. And it's very enlightening, you know, to be open to that. And of course, mm-hmm. nothing to the extent of what we're talking about here. But yeah, it's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. So, you know, the mentioning that saga is to say, gosh, it really does fascinate me to see this kind of thing and to see how reality, I'm just going to call it reality, is perceived in a very warped sort of way. And that's, again, that's part of why my daily prayer on the broadcast includes a bit about revealing our hypocrisy and double-mindedness, because it is everywhere and we're encouraged to behave this way. So anyway, we should go to the phones.
Okay.
To the phones, Myrn, Wisconsin. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Mama Mitzi and Christopher Michael.
Hi, Myrn.
Morning.
Hi. Yeah, you know, just to get back to some trivia. Well, first off, I don't know about this situation, but it sounds like she's just decided to cash in on the higher benefit, if you know what I mean, whether she's been counseled
something.
To do so or not.
Yeah.
But when you were talking about movies, and, you know, I've given up all that stuff. I don't watch, you know, the speeches and any of this. I haven't had a TV for years, and I love it. You know, the more you get out in nature and everything, it's so much more refreshing, and you can think clearer and about things that kind of matter. But what came to mind that really doesn't matter was the movie Drowning Mona. Have you seen that one, you two?
I don't think I have.
I have not. Haven't even heard of it.
Okay, good. Then I won't tell you too much about it because you might want to, because there's kind of a mother-son relationship underlying in there, but it's kind of a grim comedy, and it's in it's in a Yugo test market.
Perfect.
In Pennsylvania.
It's a must-see.
It's pretty strange. I think you two would enjoy that. I'd like to hear your review on it if you want
to. Do I get to be Mona?
I don't know. It's Bette Midler playing that. You might not want to be Mona. Like I said, everybody's trying to drown her kind of thing.
Well,
and you'll
why would
why.
They want to drown Mona?
No, well, you'll have to watch the movie. She's quite the character. So thanks for taking my call, and I just had to get in here one of these times with you. It's so good to listen to you. Such a nice concept here with the mother and the son, and
yeah.
I think we're of probably similar age there, Mama Mitzi. So
cool.
Yeah, and I have a son probably around Chris's age.
I'm sneaking up on 72 in 2 months.
Oh. Well, I guess I'll have to tell you then. I turned 73 in January.
Oh, we're kindred spirits.
Yeah.
And you both sound you both sound younger. So, didn't we talk? Was it last week? Recently, we talked about you mentioned the lyrics from "Don't Let the Old Man In," right?
Yeah. Yes.
How old would you be if you
didn't
ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know the day you were born?
Right.
How old would you two ladies be?
Well, I think I'm about maybe 45, but maybe not. Maybe 35. How about you, Myr?
Well, I think it varies with who the company is, you know, because there's this little girl I met, a neighbor's grandchild. She asks to come see me. So the first time I met her was when she was 3, and I guess she's 6 now. So, you know, she likes to come see me and show me things, and, you know, I call her my friend. So it varies with who you're speaking with, I guess. But
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you for taking my call there. I just thought you've got to see this if you hadn't. You know, it's definitely a B or C level movie, but just the plot, and it's like, after I watched it, I'm like, ugh. But it's still good, kind of, in a
well,
way.
We have to watch it before next week because we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
I want to
hear what you two have to say about it. Because it doesn't reveal at the end there kind of something very severe about the mother-son relationship.
Oh, boy.
All righty. Thank you for taking my call there, Chris. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye,
you're welcome, Mer. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Drowning Mona.
We have homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've seen it. Danny DeVito. Bette Midler. Maybe I have, actually.
Well, it sounds like another Danny DeVito, Bette Midler show.
Yeah.
By the way, he and Arnold presented a deal last night, too.
Oh. They were twins.
Anyway, Drowning Mona. Yeah. What was the other movie that Danny DeVito and Bette Midler did about kidnapping your wife? Was that a movie? Did I make that up?
I'm not sure. I wasn't, there was a Danny DeVito, Kathy Bates movie, right?
I don't know.
Is that the one that you're
I don't know.
Of?
Maybe. We'll have to figure that out too. But Drowning Mona sounds
sure.
Very interesting. Omer, you've opened a can of worms.
Mm-hmm. Get out your GraphQL database sifting devices. Relative Strangers was the 2006 Danny DeVito, Kathy Bates movie. Ron Livingston, Nev Campbell. Anyway, fun facts to ease into the week on Monday.
Sounds
and
good.
That signals the end of the broadcast.
Where has the time gone?
Yeah. Well, we kept it fairly near on the sunny side of the street, I would say. Despite my best efforts to the contrary.
Well, I loved being there.
Not really. Very funny. Is that an allusion to the movie?
Yeah.
Right on. Perfect. I appreciate it, Mitzi. Mom?
I appreciate you, Christopher. Son.
Thanks for another Monday. It was fun. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Very much. I hope it was infotaining, folks. Perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an inward pass? Have you ever received an inward pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, you know, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.